This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So J. Randall Murphy is joining us once again on the Paracast. And our special guest is the one, the only, Nick Redfern. And we'll talk in a few moments about his latest book, The Black Diary, subtitled MIB, Women in Black, Black-Eyed Children, and Dangerous Books. Uh-oh. We're in trouble now. So, Nick, you're just back from the UK. Did you get a chance to meet Meghan and Harry?
No, I didn't. I've got better things to do. I'm not a fan of the royal family.
All right. Well, a lot of us probably aren't. I don't know. I guess they're good for tourism, aren't they?
Actually, that is what they are good for. I mean, Britain is ruled, you know, in terms of the laws, etc., by the Prime Minister, which is the British equivalent of, you know, a president over here. But the royal family, it's more sort of like a status symbol. You're right, it brings in, you know, a ton of money every year in tourism. People love that sort of old star part of England. You know, but the royals don't rule the country in the same way they did, say, 500-600 years ago. It's just an image more than anything else. And a lot of people, you know, in the UK resent the fact that they have to, not a significant amount, but a percentage of their tax goes towards upholding the royal family. People say, well, why should we? You know, and it's, for me at least, you know, it's a valid question.
Well, yeah. I suppose the PR value.
Yeah, all that comes into play. There's no doubt about that. I don't think anyone begrudges the fact that it brings money in, but it's like, why do we have to support them, and is it really necessary? You know, if you're happy with it bringing in tourism and, you know, that British image of like an old royal family, that's fine. But for me, I can live with it or without it. I don't really give it much thought.
We've got Trump here in some real hot water for his recent lack of following protocol over there.
I think he walked ahead of the Queen. I want to get into the politics of it, just his physical actions.
Yeah.
I actually didn't really follow much when I was over in England. I was there on vacation, and when I go on a vacation, I go on old school vacation. I don't check email every 5 minutes or Facebook. I just, everything switches off for 2 weeks. So.
I wish I could do that.
Anybody can. Everybody can, but they just feel they there's just that urge, some weird urge where they've just got to check in every half an hour or whatever. But I don't, you know, when I was over there, I was gone for 2 weeks, I didn't check anything. I came back to like a mountain of emails and Facebook messages. But the way I look at it is that, until I was like, you know, the last 15 years, 20 years, you know, I went on vacation in the normal, old-fashioned style. I still do that.
Are you saying you didn't even take a cell phone with you?
No, I took my cell phone with me, but it never went on once.
So you just turned off?
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons is because, you know, I didn't have an American to UK voltage converter. So that was one of the reasons. But, I mean, the thing is, though, even if I did answer the phone and check messages, I know exactly what would happen. And if I check Facebook and email, I know exactly what would happen. I'd end up having to answer questions. And so, in other words, I know that I'd be doing stuff if I answered the phone or I checked Facebook or I checked emails. And so, you know, what does it do? Well, it just interrupts your vacation. For me, a vacation, it's called a vacation because you're on vacation. That's the way I look at it, anyway.
I've got respect for that. I actually don't own a cell phone still, and I don't want one for exactly all those reasons. I spend enough time in front of a computer screen as it is.
Well, you know, I mean, I have an iPhone, but I'm one of these people who uses it when it's needed. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than, you know, say, watching TV or got a girlfriend over and the iPhone, you know, pinging every time a new message comes through from Facebook or, you know, an alert about this or that, where you feel almost forced to answer it. And for me, it's not like that I'm old school. You know, I'm up on all the technologies. It just comes down to I enjoy having a regular life, which doesn't have me tied to the internet 24/7. You know, and somebody, you know, having to reply because somebody sent me a piece of footage of a talking cat or something, you know.
Well, you know, in case you don't like talking cats.
Well, I don't mind talking cats, but I don't need to be told about them when I'm, you know, like I said, got a girlfriend over, I'm in the middle of a good movie or something.
Well, if you have a girlfriend over, it's not the movie.
Oh, that's true.
I wanted to ask you something here. The book, The Black Diary. And you've written several books that have focused on these subjects in different ways.
They're five now, actually. That's the final one as well.
This is the final one. This is where you put it all together and try to figure it out.
Well, I mean, I could actually keep going. I mean, the Men in Black mystery is one of my favorite things to investigate and write about and talk about. And I could, you know, I could keep doing them over and over again, you know, more and more, I should say. But I felt that the five that I've now done all took basically different aspects of the phenomenon. And I don't really think, in all honesty, that there are other aspects that I haven't covered. And so I would be in that point I don't want to get into where it would be start to be like recycled. I don't want to be in that position because I don't think it's fair on the reader. And I don't mean that material be recycled. I mean, but the themes would be recycled. And I think I've now sort of exhausted what I can say about the subject without just presenting more and more cases which are identical or very similar to previous books. And so I felt, you know, the fifth one, which is, you know, they're all different. It's a sort of a nice one to go out on and then focus on other things. But I won't stop investigating and researching the subject or doing articles on the subject. I just don't feel that, you know, it just doesn't sort of sit right with me to do more and more of the same. You know?
Well, you don't want to get into a situation here where it's like son of MIB, daughter of MIB, MIB7, where it's sequel-itis.
Exactly. I just want to sort of be able to do enough to keep it fresh and then go on to something else. You know, I don't want to be the equivalent of like some old band, you know, that just plays the same 18 songs every other night, you know, and without ever doing anything new, you know, and it becomes like a nostalgia trip. I don't really get that.
I wonder if that's the big reason why the Beatles broke up, because they can't sing She Loves You, Yeah, 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 when they're 73 years old, except for Paul McCartney, who would.
Well, that's the problem. As you know, I'm big into music and, you know, I write about music a lot and play. And you know, for me, the bands I like, you know, I'd hope, but it doesn't always work out like this, I would hope they would know when to stop, because inevitably, you know, the time comes when they slow down and ill health gets in and somebody decides to leave. They got to get another major, you know, front man in or whatever, which never works. So, and, you know, I think all of them know when they should stop, but actually convincing them to is like a different thing.
It's kind of like a TV series, and it's successful, yeah. But some of these TV series, they will decide, you know what? Let's just end it this year. Let's have a nice ending like the Americans in the sixth season. Let's wrap up the story. But then they could also be like Law & Order SVU, where it goes on for 20 years. And how many times have they retread the same stories with a few changes in the script? And when you do something like that, there was a show called Chicago Justice that seemed to be recycling old Law & Order scripts. And it got to a point where, well, you know, we have Nick Redfern, we have J. Randall Murphy, we have Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we continue here with the Paracast, Nick Redfern, talking about his book, The Black Diary. Also assuring us there will be not 20 versions of it. They're not going to jump the shark, which is the other term, where you have a TV series that has outlived its usefulness, and it's like Happy Days, where Fonzie jumped the shark, and that becomes the phrase. Now, I wanted to ask you something that's part of the title of the Black Diary. Dangerous books. In what respect? A hand comes out of the book and grabs you by the neck? What?
Well, not literally, but you're not far off. I'll explain what I'm assuming by that. If you look at the whole UFO subject, you know, there are numerous aspects to it. You've got everything from abductions, contact cases, crashed UFOs, crop circles. You name it, you know, there are numerous avenues when you're delving into the whole UFO subject. But one of the really weird things that I found is that when you investigate things like the men in black, the black-eyed children, the women in black, and other aspects which seem to be connected, like the a character known as the Hat Man and the Shadow People, there are a lot of cases or examples, I should say, and I know this sounds really, what I'm going to say now sounds really weird, but there are a lot of people who say when they've been reading books on things like the men in black, women in black, black-eyed kids, strange things have happened to them while they've been reading the books or after they finish reading them. I'll give you one example of how this phenomenon sort of impacts in that way. In the new book, I've got probably five or six cases where people were reading books, you know, particularly on the black-eyed children, and they started to get really weird and repetitive electrical problems in the home. Things would suddenly short out, light bulbs would explode in, things like this, all over the course of several days. And if it was just one person, you know, you could just put it down to like an electrical surge or whatever. But the number of people who report things like that, but not in relation to ufology in general, but to these specific sinister type characters. And John Keel found that as well, that people who read his Mothman book, particularly against any other books that he wrote, they reported the same thing. David Weatherly, David wrote a book on the black-eyed children, and he was sort of inundated with emails from people who also experienced the same thing, weird electrical phenomena going on when people were sort of engrossed in reading the book. So that's what I sort of talk about. Now, the other aspect of this dangerous books angle goes back decades. I actually got hold of some of Gray Barker's old correspondence with people like Albert Bender, who was the first guy who really kicked off the whole Men in Black mystery in the early 1950s. And Barker actually wrote to Bender and said that several people who bought Bender's book, which was called Flying Saucers and the Three Men, which Barker published, Barker told Bender that several people had sent the book back to him, didn't care if they got refunded or not, but they sent the book back because they got this creepy vibe from holding it, reading it. They kind of felt unclean, as if there was some sort of creepy vibe to the book itself, which again is really strange. But again, bear in mind, this is 50 years ago, nearly 60 years ago, people were still reacting in the way they are today with some of these books. And I've actually had several people contact me who've read my book and said the same thing, that they had sort of weird hang-up phone calls in the night with, like, electrical static interference, which, as I'm sure you know, in the Mothman phenomenon, that was something that was rife around town in Point Pleasant. So that's what it's sort of I mean by that dangerous books angle. Now, some people might just roll their eyes at that, but as I said, if it was just once, I'd ignore it. If it was twice, I'd probably ignore it. But when you talk about 14 or 15 cases coming from people like me, David Weatherly, and other people, and, you know, and then it sort of spirals into people reading the books, then you begin to wonder, you know, what on earth is going on?
You know, I think it's definitely a different sort of selling feature for a book.
Well, you know, it is, but I mean, I would actually say, you know, there are better ways to promote and publicize a book, because most people who haven't experienced it do roll their eyes at it. You know, they're like, this is just, you know, this is just people, imagination or coincidence being perceived as something more. And in some cases, you know, I don't deny that could be the case. But I would say that highlighting in a, not just a book, but in the title as well, something that is really weird and that is going to make some people roll their eyes really isn't a good way to sell books, but it is the honest story of what happened, you know, and I felt the onus and the responsibility was on my part to say, yeah, this is what happened, and if you don't like it and it turns you off the book, well, there's nothing I can do about it. My job writing about the Men in Black would be much easier if the Men in Black were like in the movies, you know, from some government agency. But it's clear that, you know, they're not. There's something much, much stranger. But it doesn't help my case to really highlight this really weird high strangeness, because it does put a lot of people off. They just want the black and white nuts and bolts, down to earth, good old 1950s and 60s ufology, you know, Donald Kehoe and all that kind of stuff.
They attack me when I bring that up. They say, that Steinberg guy is stuck in the 50s. And I say, well, look at MUFON.
But I also get people where it's the other way around. You know, I actually do, believe in a lot of these weird concepts and things that are going on. But then I have people who say to me, well, you know, you should ignore all that. We should just need to be focusing on nuts and bolts UFOs. You know, you're getting it from both sides, really. But, you know, all I can do is sort of tell people what the witnesses tell me. All I can say, there's a significant number of people who've read books on Men in Black, Women in Black, Black Eyed Kids, Shadow People, The Hat Man, who are getting weird things happen to them in the home, in the immediate aftermath. I guess you take it or you don't take it, you know.
Well, this wasn't just with people who are reading your books or other people. This, according to your introduction, which I found really interesting, it's happened to you. To quote from your introduction, you say, when you immerse yourself in and write about the realms of the unknown, the things that inhabit those realms are quickly driven to intrude upon your personal space. Or as Alexander Leake, a Kiel-based character in the 2002 movie version of the Mothman Prophecies, said, when you notice these things, they notice that you notice them. And I think that's really interesting and want to hear some more about some of your experiences.
The book's called The Black Diary because, unlike my other Men in Black books, this one is sort of written like a first-person journal. You know, it is like reading Nick Redfern's journal. Part of the reason I wanted to write it like that was purely for this very reason you just mentioned, because I became part of the story. And in the same way with the Mothman Prophecies, you know, John Keel went to Point Pleasant to investigate the Mothman phenomenon, and then he found himself in sort of the midst of this high strangeness, this weirdness in Point Pleasant, and he started to get the hang-up phone calls.
Nick, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Robin Walensky. The standoff at a Trader Joe's grocery in Los Angeles over a suspect in custody. This all started as a domestic dispute.
Well, he jumped out of his car and he looked like he was shooting.
Witnesses saying the suspects jumped out of a car and traded gunfire with police.
It sounded like they were shooting return fire.
President Trump on Twitter talking about the FBI raid of his lawyer Michael Cohen's office. Word audio tapes confiscated by the feds, and one is a reported recording recording Cohen makes while he talks to President Trump about a potential payment to a woman. Now, the president tweeting, "Inconceivable that the government would break into a lawyer's office early in the morning. Almost unheard of. Even more inconceivable that a lawyer would tape a client. Totally unheard of and perhaps illegal. The good news is that your favorite president did nothing wrong!" Exclamation point. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Fascinating Tales from the Black Diary with Nick Rayfern. Let us proceed, sir.
Okay. Well, the book itself starts in sort of 2014, which is where my last MIB book left off, and it goes right through to the early part of this year. Now, in 2014, I had another one of my earlier Men in Black books out called Stunningly Men in Black.
Yes, that's a surprising title.
You're right. Now, that book came out in 2014. Well, when I was putting together the final edit of the Word document, I mean, when I say that, it was like the final part of it. It was. I mean, literally, it was a Friday. I think it was a Friday morning. I remember it was a sunny day. Anyway, it's in the book. But basically, I was sat at the laptop and I was reading the final edit of the Word document before it goes to the editor. And then they turn it into PDF and convert it into the book, etc. And just as literally seconds after I hit the save button, shut it down, there was like a thump coming from one of the rooms in my apartment. And it's not a big apartment, so it didn't take me long to find out what had happened. What had happened is that I've got a lot of pictures and artwork on the walls of the apartment. And in the bedroom, one had fallen off the wall. What had actually fallen off, and the glass had shattered and the frame was broken, so I had to, you know, get it all cleaned up. The piece of artwork was actually not artwork per se. It was a framed letter written by Albert Bender, the guy who started off the Men in Black mystery in the early 1950s with his own experiences. So I found that kind of odd. You know, I closed down the Word document to my next MIB book literally 2 seconds or so after closing it down. A picture falls off the wall, which is a letter written by Albert Bender to a colleague in New Zealand in the early 1950s. That was like just one of many weird experiences. Other ones, for example, involve things like getting these hang-up phone calls in the middle of the night and strange static on the lines. Now, of course, you know, if you get a phone call in the 2 or 3 in the morning, everybody jumps out of bed because you're worried it's bad news, you know, or else why is somebody calling you at 3 o'clock? That happened so many times. One occasion, I got to the phone and the number that was showing on the caller ID was actually my own phone number. You know, it's kind of like that old movie, that horror movie, you know, the calls coming from inside the house, you know. But things like that happened to a really significant degree. The more I dug into it, the more weird things in relation to the Men in Black began to happen. As I said, like weird phone calls, hang-up calls, electrical squeaks and noises on the phone. And it also impacted on my agent, Lisa Hagen. This impacted on my agent, Lisa Hagen, as well. And Lisa's also the publisher of The Black Diary, as well as being my agent. And roughly around about 2014, 2015, when a lot of the research for the new book was at its height, I found that a lot of the weirdness that was affecting me spilled over to my agent, Lisa Hagen, who's also the publisher of The Black Diary as well. And Lisa had a lot of weird stuff going on with her, strange voices on the phone. On one occasion, her house is quite isolated, and she saw this car come down the driveway and literally stop outside of one of her windows, and somebody got out and took a picture, and then this black car drove off. And she had her mail tampered with and all sorts of weird stuff going on. Now, that sounds more like, you know, sort of regular people, but somebody, you know, whether in governments, who knows what. This clearly wasn't directly connected, you know, to some of the more weirder paranormal stuff and weird synchronicities we've just been talking about. But it did impact on Lisa, you know, and disturbed her. And so when you find yourself, as I said, you know, in the introduction, the character out of Mothman Prophecies movie saying, you know, words to the effect of, when you notice these things, they notice that you notice them, and then they sort of turn the tables on you. And so I've seen that happen so many times, and particularly with people, you know, who've seen the Men in Black, and in many cases they're just not prepared, you know, for what happened. I mean, I had so much weird stuff happen to me, which I'd never ever happened before, like bouts of sleep paralysis and images of like dark cloaked things in the bedroom, like looming over the bed. There was one occasion, again at the height of all this research, when I was sort of like in the throes of sleep paralysis, and saw this sort of black cloaked woman, and she kind of just in this deep gravelly voice said, said, "I can help you, just say yes." And I knew, even in this sort of altered state, if I said yes, it would be the worst thing I could do. You know, like it was almost like inviting something through. Now, very often, you know, sleep paralysis is caused by stress and anxiety and things like that. But I do think it has an external component to it. But, you know, I'm one of the most laid-back people I know. And, you know, but it all came to a head again. You know, when all this strangeness was going on. And I really did get a couple of months. It was almost, I can't explain how or why, but I did get like a really weird, creepy vibe just being in the apartment. It was as if, you know, I sound strange, but like it was an invisible force of some sort here that was like very negative and menacing. And then I started to get things like sudden light bulbs exploding, and there was twice when I almost got struck by lightning. And in that same time frame, a friend of mine, Buffy Clary, she did get struck by lightning twice in the same time frame. And luckily, she wasn't badly hurt, but she was hurt enough to have to go to the emergency room because she felt like all tingly and her face felt weird. You know, you put all that together, and it was. And another thing that happened, again in this same time period, I went down to the mailbox one day, and I actually got attacked by a blackbird. twice. It dive bombed me twice, and that was at the very same time. And that was something that really kind of, you know, made me think, what on earth have I sort of got myself into? And all of that I put in the book, you know, just to demonstrate how an aspect of ufology, or what I perceived as an aspect of ufology, turns into something very much different, you know, like a real life horror story almost.
I wonder how connected it really is with ufology, though. I mean, I wonder if ufology is just another manifestation of something that, you know, in reality isn't really connected with it, but they just use the phenomena as part of their bag of tricks, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a good point, because I think a lot of people, you know, they assume the UFO phenomenon is just about aliens from another world coming here, and that's it. You know, and the government's hidden the bodies, et cetera, et cetera, and they're here to steal our, you know, DNA, eggs, et cetera, for abduction scenarios. But the more I've sort of looked into it, certainly for the last 20 years, you know, that there's no doubt in my mind that there are distinct crossovers between the UFO phenomenon and various aspects of the paranormal, the supernatural, and even the occult. Now, some of the old school ufologists do not want to hear that. They just want to hear, you know, the good old days.
You know, we don't mention this terribly often, but we have the greatest paranormal forums on the planet. Well, you know, they may be better ones, but we like to think we've got pretty good ones. It's called the Paracast Community Forums. And you can talk about not just the paranormal, not just UFOs, but other subjects too. A lot of fun. Check out forum.theparacast.com. Once again, that's forum.theparacast.com for the Paracast Community Forums. Pay us a visit, okay? We'll have more of the good old days as opposed to the old, old days. With Nick Redfern, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, I'm Patrick Colbeck, and I'm running for governor. Michigan roads look like the surface of the moon. We need to do better than that, but I'm tired of being told that we don't pay enough in taxes. In 2015, 81% of voters rejected a tax increase. What happened after we said no? Rhinos in Lansing raised taxes without a vote of the people. Then they actually transferred $400 million from the transportation budget to fix potholes in their expansion of Obamacare. As governor, I will be focused on road quality, not tax increases. Principal solutions prioritize your best interests, not lobbyists. Paid for by Patrick Colbeck for governor.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own, and only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, we are. The good old days, that's all we want to have. The UFO field is stuck in the good old days. We've always said that, and they look at me like, oh, that's Steinberg. He doesn't know.
Well, when I was a kid, you know, everything was black and white. I did think it was just nuts and bolts, UFOs, et cetera, et cetera. But certainly by the time I was in my 20s, you know, I'd sort of started to come round to theories and ideas and concepts that John Cale came up with. And to the point where now, you know, I'm not even sure we're dealing with extraterrestrials. You know, it could be something that's sort of multidimensional that coexists with us. And, you know, I think when, for example, I've got in the book, I think there's five or six cases thereabouts where people have been visited and threatened by the men in black. And then hours later, they claim that they experienced violent poltergeist activity in the home. Other people fell down with serious illness after being confronted by them again in the room, which clearly, you know, cannot happen if it's agents from the FBI or the NSA or whatever, which I don't believe it is at all. When you start getting into issues like people falling sick and poltergeist activity and weird synchronicities and getting attacked, you know, by a bird, artwork shattering from the wall, that kind of thing, you know, when you put all that together, for me, ufology is far deeper and much weirder than many people not just don't realize it is, but they prefer it not to be like that. You know, I know some well-known ufologists who will not touch this sort of supernatural side of things. And I think for the most part, it's because their mind's close to it and they really do just want the old days of like Roswell and Captain Mantell and Betty and Barney Hill. They don't want the weirder stuff. But the fact is, the weirder stuff is part of the phenomenon, and to deny it is actually to deny full-on research. From my perspective, it's important to deal with these challenges, even if they cause people to roll their eyes or turn people away. That's how it goes. You know, I'm not going to sort of kind of clean it up for the benefit of trying to sell a few more books. Tell it as it is. And if people are turned off by the weirder side, well, that's how it goes.
But, so you know, be it then.
So be it. Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you a question, kind of dovetail back to what we were talking about before, that letter you had from Albert Bender. Did anyone do an interview with Bender in his final years? I mean, the guy died in 2016. He was 94 years old. Pretty good. But interviews with him?
Yes, there were. There are three or four examples, which I think it was the interviews on the Long John Neville show. I know he was interviewed on several occasions.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of the early days when Flying Saucer
and
the Freeman
came
out. I mean in his last years.
No. What happened was, for people who don't know, Albert Bender was the guy who really kicked off the whole Men in Black mystery. He lived in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he set up this group called the International Flying Saucer Bureau. And it really took off massively, you know. I mean, he had hundreds and hundreds of followers. And he suddenly shut it down and alluded to how he'd been told the truth of the UFO phenomenon. And he confided in a few friends that he'd been visited by these three men dressed in black. But he didn't explain the full story, so people assumed that they were from the government. It was only when he wrote in 62 his book, Flying Saucers and the Three Men, that the real weird story came out, where these MIB were like shadow people. They would sort of materialize through the walls, and they had these shining eyes, but they had the outline of like a black suit and an old-style fedora hat. And so the whole MIB mystery began. Now, after Bender promoted Flying Saucers and the Three Men, which Gray Barker published, Bender actually basically said, you know, I'm done, because he was terrified, because every time he dug into the Men in Black mystery or the UFO mystery after that, he would find bad things would happen to him. And so he really did walk away. He did one lecture, I think, in 67 or 68, and that was it. And he completely stayed out of the subject then until, well, for the rest of his life. You know, as you said, he pointed out, he died at 94 in 2016. In those years, he just had a happy life with his wife, living not too far from LAX Airport. And he ran the Appreciation Society for Max Steiner, who was a famous composer, and for people who are interested, Max Steiner actually did the musical score for the original King Kong. And Bender loved Steiner's music. And as I said, he ran the Appreciation Society for years, decades, and I said lived near LAX with his wife. And proof that getting out of the subject actually, you know, didn't hurt him, because he lived to 94. You know, you can't complain about that.
Well, I met him once. I met him when he gave a lecture shortly after Flying Saucers and the Three Men came out. And that was in New York City. And Jim Owsley and I and other people listened to him. We had dinner with him. And Jim's soon-to-be ex-wife, Sandra, prided herself to be an amateur psychologist. And she started analyzing Bender, concluding that he had problems. Okay? Now, I don't know what she meant by that, or did I know enough about the subject to take her seriously. But I know that was the last time I saw Bender. And the other thing is that Gray Barker published Flying Saucers and the Three Men. And I always wondered there, how much of that book did Gray Barker, shall we say, edit in significant ways?
Well, Bender did actually say that, you know, the story was accurate, but Barker definitely did have, you know, significant input. Because as you know, Barker was very much like a storyteller, you know, the kind of guy who, if it was like a you know, bright sunny day, he might change the story to it was a dark and stormy night just for effect. So I think Barker, today, we would sort of draw parallels with the, you know, the concept of gonzo writing, you know, like Hunter S. Thompson, where you're telling what is essentially a true story, but it's kind of gonzoed up, you know, for the benefit of the reader, where you're kind of thinking, well, hang on a minute, how much of this is exactly the truth and how much is, you know, bending the truth for entertainment. I don't think there's any doubt that there's part of that within Bender's book. But Bender, you know, was adamant that he did have these experiences, and he did describe them as sort of like semi-physical and coming through the walls, and, you know, they were following him late at night when he'd go to the cinema, and, you know, in shadowy form again. So there's no doubt he had a lot of weird experiences. But, you know, when you talked about, what did you say? It was Jim's wife who was trying to analyze him.
Yes, Sandra Mosley.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that he was an unusual guy. I mean, he was someone who, he was heavily into the occult in the real world, not just in, you know, the world of fiction. And he was not like a dabbler. He actually built in his attic, he lived in an attic room in Bridgeport in his father's house. And this was when he was about 33. And he built like this, what he called a supernatural altar in the attic. And he was someone who was heavily influenced and by and interested in the work of Aleister Crowley, old-style magic, you know, conjuring things up. And he was also someone who was, by his own admission, he didn't deny this, he was a hypochondriac. He had this bizarre kind of fear of getting cancer. And why that was, I don't know. So, you know, he was an unusual guy to start with. But again, by his own admission, he felt that creating this supernatural altar and trying to invoke supernatural entities for a, you know, a particular purpose, he felt that he'd kind of opened a doorway or a portal, if you like, to allow these MIB to come through. But then over the years, you know, people assumed that they were from the government. And so that's when, you know, the assumption that the Men in Black were from the government, that's how that largely began, because Bender wouldn't elaborate and give the full story. So people just filled the blanks in themselves and assumed they were from the government. And so had Bender been more forthright to begin with, a lot of people would probably never even have thought there was a government angle to the MIB. They'd have just thought, you know, it was just a weird aspect of ufology, really.
We're going to have to break in a moment, so let me just wrap this up. Okay. Now, one of the things to consider here is the fact that in those days, the government was presumed to have a silence group of some sort that kept the secret of the saucers. And so it was logical, with Bender not providing any additional information, to make that assumption. We've got more to come with Nick Redfern. And his book is called The Black Diaries. Or I was going to say it in my Sean Connery way, The Black Diaries. And it's a very lousy imitation, Nick. Sorry about that.
You don't have to apologize to me. I don't care.
Okay, well, at least he doesn't. Thank you. He's very gracious. I appreciate that with J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-910-5936. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-910-5936. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-910-5936. 1-800-910-5936.